right. Well, welcome into the second episode of Southern Hostility. This is Cameron Gumpy. With me back again is Justin Bradford.
I have a full, large cup of cheer wine.
Cheer wine.
I'm ready to go.
Justin loves this gas station that's like right at the freeway exit. He's talked about it last time before the show started. Now he's talking about it again.
It is cheer wine and Sundrop on tap. I mean, you can't beat that.
So I love going into a gas station and just getting a meal, whatever they've got. Let me get a couple hot dogs. Let me get some chili cheese Fritos.
Get a tornado.
What even is the tornado?
It's those little things that's like a wrapped tortilla fried with a filling.
I know what it's marketed as. I just mean, what is it actually?
Oh, it's a meteorological phenomena that when there's, you know, a difference of pressure, when you have high and low pressures and then they mix it. You want me to shut up now?
No. It's just every time it says, like, this one's got grilled chicken, and this one's got ground beef and Monterey Jack cheese, and every time it tastes exactly the same.
It's all the same meat.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't
unless
matter.
Unless you want to sponsor us tornadoes, and then it's not all the same meat.
It all tastes delicious, but it's just, like, mystery ingredients. Sweet, delicious mystery ingredients.
We digress in the first 10 seconds.
Hey, I am passionate about a nice gas station.
So am I. And it's a cheer wine.
Yeah. All right. Well, on the docket today, talk a little bit about free agency. Preds made a couple good signings, I feel like. So we'll get into that a little bit. They also made a couple trades or a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
A couple.
Nick Bonino, that's the biggest one. We should probably get that one out of the way quick.
why quick? Do you just want to get it done with the people that don't like it and the people that do like
no,
it?
No, but, like, you know, cut to the main story.
Is that the main story?
I guess.
Well, here's the thing. It was kind of funny. Obviously, we knew this was going to happen, but waiting for Bonino to arrive in the lower levels of Bridgestone Arena, he's wearing a boot.
Yeah.
And everybody, we're going, boy, if this gets out to some fans, they're going to go, oh, well, look it. He can't even go here without a boot. Get on the ice. Fiala's doing it.
I love the fans that are just like, set the bar. It's that please like my sport stuff. Oh, a real player's going to be on the ice 10 minutes after breaking his leg.
Prove yourself. Patrice Bergeron did it.
This isn't basketball where you're going to be flopping around everywhere.
Oh, turf toe. No. Bonino, he was nice. It was so adorable. His little girl was there, a toddler. And she was kind of yelping near the very end of the video that we posted up.
And some people get upset with that. I love getting that in-depth family. You know, he's got his kid right there. He's a good family guy. Going to fit right in Tennessee. It's fantastic.
4 years. You know, it's one of those things I think a lot of people – most people are uncertain about the cap hit for it. 4 years is not bad. I mean, that's one of those things that you're not locked in for long term, like a 7-8 year deal. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things the cap hit people are unsure because of what his production could be. And he even addressed it as well, saying that he was obviously having to play behind Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. So there's questionable things there when they were hurt. He was getting more minutes and producing. So it's that question of, can he be consistent? A lot of people aren't sure about his consistency. What can he do in Nashville, surrounded by the players here in Nashville and not playing on the third line?
Yeah. What one thing I was thinking about, because in that same day, Colin Wilson gets shipped out to Colorado for practically nothing. Colin Wilson was making similar money and doing basically nothing. So now Nick Bonino's coming in, and he'll do probably something for the same money or similar money.
Well, he's a center, so right off the bat there, that adds. And people are going to say, well, Colin Wilson's a natural center. How often did he play center?
Not often for the natural, at all.
Not often at all. Nick Bonino comes in as a center, whether he's going to play third or second line. Obviously, most people expect him to be on the second line. But comes in as center, which is a role that is difficult to find in the NHL, a role to where you can find a middle six, top six center is tough to find. So obviously that replaces Colin Wilson right there. But the big thing with me with Colin Wilson is so many people commenting on his Colorado Avalanche picture saying that he looks like he doesn't want to be there. He looks so sad, looks like he's going to cry. People, that is his Predators headshot and they photoshopped it. Come on. Are you that dense and stupid you can't realize that? Compare the pictures of the same damn thing.
One of the funniest things to me is you look at the neckline and you can see where the Predators jersey starts above the Colorado jersey, and they just photoshopped it gray. So there's just like these random gray things coming up along his neck.
This here. Joe Sakic walks in the room. Yes, intern Joey, I need you to Photoshop this, please. We traded for Colin Wilson. What about Matt Duchene? Forget about Matt Duchene. No. I need you to Photoshop an Avalanche jersey on a Colin Wilson. Who's Colin Wilson? We don't know either, but we made a trade for him.
I just haven't watched him in a while.
Well, he's also been in the East. But
yeah.
No, I like this signing. It was one of those things. Knowing the situation, I think we're all pretty sure that Hartnell was coming back. It made sense.
Yeah.
One of the teams is going to bring him back. The thing is, he can still produce. So you think at $1 million, last season he played 78 games for Blue Jackets, had 37 points. That's worth $1 million.
Yeah.
Right there in the NHL, especially 13 goals right there. How many other players are getting paid $3 or $4 million and not even scoring 10 goals?
Yeah.
Sometimes. So, and he's just a year removed from a 20 goal season and consistently putting up points on the power play. That's what the Predators we know need some help, that he can park his ass right in front of the goalie and make some noise. And that's what the Predators have needed all along.
Yeah, boy, do they need help on the power play.
Hopefully assistant coach can help with that too.
And, like, I saw somewhere, like, his 5-on-5 production is pretty solid, which would be nice. Just a good – if it doesn't work, it's no big deal. And it's probably going to work.
Yeah, I think it'll work. You put him on the third line. It's fine because he's a power forward.
Yeah.
Predators don't really have power forwards, which the system obviously doesn't allow for that. You don't really have a need for it.
Yeah.
But if he's playing a solid maybe 11, 12 minutes and getting special but if he's playing power play unit minutes like that, then he's probably going to be fine. And that's what you want out of him. You don't need him to be fast. You just need him to park it and get some dirty goals, get some trash goals, have a little bit of grit as well. I know people hate that word grit, but he's going to add a little bit more grit to that lineup. That also is an offensive upside. It's not a Cody McLeod type grit.
Yeah.
Even though McLeod has scored some goals, it's not that type of grit.
It's the Austin Watson style grit, not the Cody McLeod style grit.
Yes, with a few more teeth.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Scott Hartnell.
Emlyn got traded.
Who? We haven't seen him, so I don't
know. Oh yeah. He's in Russia somewhere. He went to Markov's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and PK Subban were all there.
Everyone's putting on their tinfoil hat going, "Where's Alexei Emelin? Why hasn't anybody seen him? What's he doing?" He's probably in Russia, folks.
Yeah, look at a map of Russia and then ask that question again with a straight face.
Where's Alexei Emelin? Okay, I tried. I couldn't do it.
What were you trying to do?
Say it with a straight face.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled up on Google a map of Russia real quick. Real quick.
You just like made this weird voice as you were trying to do it. I thought you were doing a bad impression.
I do that sometimes you as do. Well. That's... Hey! Sheesh. That's it. I'm going home.
All right. Well, show's over. Thank you for joining us on episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Oh, man. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it was god-awful. All right. Anyways.
So, Emlyn, like... That kind of had everybody scratching their heads. They thought maybe that's the Predators trying to acquire someone to flip for Duchene, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Or Galchenyuk, that was also mentioned too. Yeah. Like maybe the Habs want him back.
Yeah.
No, what got me was the trade broke and I saw it as I was drinking margaritas at Rose Pepper. And I'm like, I'm not in the right condition to analyze a trade right now. I'll just retweet and then maybe get to it later. And then Steven, our graphic designer, he was out with his family and he goes, I'll get to the graphic later. Everybody, we thought it was done.
Yeah.
Even though Poile mentioned in his post free agency like press conference that maybe he's not done yet. Well, he wasn't lying. He definitely wasn't done. And it broke what, like 6 PM or something?
I don't even remember completely what the Predators gave up for these moves, just because they're so like they were kind of tiny moves, which is good for depth purposes, getting a draft pick for Colin Wilson when he's begging to get out of here, apparently. Not necessarily begging, but...
Well, the Colin Wilson thing, I think it was a perfect scenario where both parties realized that he needed a fresh start, and that's what they even said.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel so much better in terms from a personal perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it hopefully makes fans feel better, too, that, look, he's one of those players that he has potential still that he has not been able to reach unless it's the playoffs mm-hmm. before, and he had some injury issues, but maybe a fresh start and where he could be a potential leader on a team like Colorado, yeah. where he can help bring them back from the dumpster fire, like we spoke of before, that it yeah. is. It's a good thing for him to get that start and not have that pressure in Nashville because mm-hmm. he's always had that pressure. And we know David Poile does not like giving up his Americans, even though they're Canadian, but he's also American.
Yeah. That whole situation with Colin Wilson is weird. He's like from Winnipeg, but he plays for the American team. Or
yeah, yeah. Okay, Emelin, it was a 2018 third-round pick.
Okay. So, eh.
Yeah,
third-round picks can turn into good players like a Victor Arvidsson. He was a third-round pick, right?
Fourth,
okay. Yeah.
No, but Emelin, especially if you're looking for something solid on the bottom pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because who knows what they could do now. Now what this makes me question is they're probably pushing that. If they keep Emelin, Alex Carrier it'll be much more difficult for him to compete for a spot
yeah.
on the roster, which is totally okay. If he gets another full season in Milwaukee, whoo-wee, 18-19.
Yeah.
Especially now you're starting to look at the defense being complete and Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber go their own separate ways and you have a guy like Girard or Allard yeah. in as well or Doherty. So many guys that could fit perfectly in that bottom pairing.
Yeah.
With the top six of the Predators have? Or the top mm-hmm. four of the Predators have, I mean?
Seen those guys at the prospect game. That was a lot of fun, too. Seemed
oh,
like,
yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. And I get to see some of them in the near future, too.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Poetic justice.
At the World Junior
yep.
Showcase.
Yep. Yeah. Five Predators prospects.
That's awesome.
Going to be there.
That prospect game, it was fast, too. Yeah. Really fast. It's definitely obvious that it's probably a really skilled team that we haven't seen in the prospect pool for a long time.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it at Bridgestone because it helped you open up so you could – some people sat higher up in the lower bowl. Some people sat higher up in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
Which you could get a better view of plays developing, how they were getting a feel for each other as well. The big thing that I noticed too and somebody tried to call me out for is there's chemistry between Tyler Moy and David Ferentz. Like, well, Ferentz is a defenseman. I know he is, but Tyler Moy kept finding David Ferentz, and Ferentz would find Moy. That's chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're not a defenseman or not a forward. They still found each other, and Moy, the one spinorama
yeah.
to find David Ferentz, and Ferentz shot it in from basically the slot, the top of the faceoff circle. That was beautiful.
Especially with how important defensemen getting involved in the play is in the modern NHL.
Especially for Nashville.
Yeah, and Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns. Those guys, where they're showcased best is not at the other end of the ice. It's attacking. It's getting involved in the play. It's building that chemistry with your forwards.
It absolutely is. I mean, you see it like, okay, for instance, Mattias Ekholm, no one really thought of him in the role that he was having until the playoffs, and now you have so many analysts going, he might be the most underrated defenseman.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And then, obviously, the whole potential package to Colorado.
Yeah.
You don't want to put him on a division rival team like that.
No, especially when he's doing so well with PK Subban. Like, yep. That's a amazing pairing, and you don't want to tamper with that, especially when it takes you to the finals.
Yeah, it took a while to get there, but once it did.
As much as I'd love to have a Duchesne or a Galchenyuk, adding in somebody like Bonino, I feel like it takes us that step forward. It helps solidify our center position, especially if Fisher comes back. Center depth is good. Maybe not great, but good.
Yeah, and Bonino, right in the middle of what would be considered his prime. Mm-hmm. He's 29 years old, so 4 years, that puts him toward the end of his prime, which is the perfect length of signing. I know we're getting back to free agency again with Bonino, but 4 years puts him at 33 years old. That's perfect because he'll probably be done with the Predators then. Or he signs a year here, a year here, a year here kind of thing.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Who sees it? We'll see if we can produce. You can always adjust because who knows with Kamenev or Trenant, you know, all these different centers in the system as well, that maybe if they make their break into the NHL, then Bonino's a solid third line center and that's okay.
Yeah. And Bonino's going to have some good talent to play with, some like Aberg and some other great forwards that we have. It's going to be interesting to see, especially with the amount of speed they have. should be good to watch.
Fiala, he'll most likely be playing with Fiala for a little bit, and which is going to be great. Kevin Fiala, I think, has that potential to at least get 20 goals this season. He has a potential. Not saying he's going to, but if he's giving the opportunity, the way that we could continue to see him progress through the season and into the playoffs, he could be a 20-goal scorer.
Especially with the playoff Fiala had, it's obvious it's time for him to be a permanent person on the roster.
Yes.
It's going to be – he's got that spot now.
Yep, same thing with Pontus Oberg.
Yeah.
I mean, he proved that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Man, that overtime goal from Fiala. So much fun to watch.
Oh, I'm getting chills. I need a towel. Hold on.
The other thing that makes me laugh is going back to the playoffs in the Blues series, Kevin Fiala goes down with a horrible injury. Apparently, Vern Fiddler scored his goal with Fiala's stick.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe Fiala had more to do with that goal than Fiddler did. It was probably like 51%, 49%, but I don't know, just that positive juju going.
I have nothing to add to that. That's just funny.
I mean, just the way it's like, let me like push this magic stick into the proper area and hope for the best. And it's like, oh, that worked out pretty good.
You got the magic stick. Oh, man.
All right. So now free agency is kind of wrapping up. It's a slow time as far as hockey news goes. People are freaking out about a few things and getting stuck on stories. We saw it last year with Jimmy VC, where that's all anybody had to talk about is VC watch.
Into August, too. So it was like perfect for NHL media.
Yeah. And it's obvious that Matt Duchene is going to be that story this year just because Sakic's just sitting on his hands and everybody saying, you know, oh, you should make this move. And then you're hearing this battle back where it's like, oh, you think Sakic's stupid, huh? Everybody praised Yzerman for how he handled Drouin, but, you know, he's got a rush, which is just ridiculous to me because it's not at all the same situation.
No, it's extremely different. One, you have Tampa Bay that they finished in 2015-16. They finished second in the Atlantic with 97 points.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, right there, they were already a good team. And again, they've been a consistently good team, obviously dealing with injuries with Steven Stamkos. But they're a team that is ready to win. Injury bug has really hurt them because they made a push at the end of this past season as well. Colorado has not made a push like that. They have not looked good. They have not looked like, oh, they're only one injury. They had injury problems, so they could have made the playoffs if not for a certain injury. No, completely different situation there. And Yzerman has made some smart moves to keep his team continually competitive, and that's what's important with Steve Yzerman, that he continues to make moves for his team to be competitive.
One big thing for me is Drouin wasn't in the NHL at that time. He was just a prospect. Mm-hmm. He requested a trade. Completely different situation there. Duchene was in the NHL. Duchene did not ask for a trade. Sakic started putting out feelers, and he put himself in this situation. It's not where a player put him in this situation. So
are we sure that he wasn't asking for a 2 Chainz concert?
What?
Yeah, I need to get a 2 Chainz concert. Oh, Sak is going to trade Duchene. Okay, cut that. You didn't get it.
No, I'm completely lost.
Never mind.
Okay.
Going to go 2 Chainz. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No.
Oh, my God. Get with the pop culture.
All right. So Sakic put himself in this situation, and it's up to him to dig himself out of this hole he's created where now even your player knows you're looking to unload him. He's a depreciating asset because he's in the NHL and he's not performing as well because you're doing everything you can to damage his ego. We're probably circling back around to some things we talked about last week, but, you know, we're playing the hits.
All the hits here on Oldies 96.3.
When you guys see AC/DC, you want to hear Back in Black, so that's what we're doing.
Well, it's like what I went to a Bon Jovi concert a few years ago, and when he started playing his new crap, everyone went to the bathroom and to the beer lines. I mean, like half the stadium emptied.
That was everybody during our gas station segment.
Oh, right off the bat, they just went ahead and left. Oh, they're not playing the hits. I want to hear them talk hockey. Forget gas station hot dogs and tornadoes. No, but it's exactly what you're saying is Juwan is a highly touted, was a highly touted prospect, still is a highly touted prospect.
Yeah.
Still worth something. Now, that attitude issue about him saying, I'm not going to report to Syracuse, da 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 da, that obviously depreciated his value a little bit there, but there's still GMs that were willing to take a risk on talent like that. Duchesne, Sack, like we said before, Sack is screwing his team's morale so much right now by holding on to this, whereas the whole Drouin situation had nothing to do with team morale because, like you said, he was not in the NHL yet. It was one of those things like, oh, God, what is going on? Who is this kid? It was more turning the team against Drouin because of the way his attitude was, whereas Duchesne, everyone's questioning, well, what's our general manager going to do next?
Yeah. In addition to depreciating the value of the asset Sakic has, he's also missing out on things he could have gotten.
So,
The draft is passed. The Predators could have easily offered that pick, which the Predators got a really good player that fell. That could have been Colorado's player. They probably should have targeted defensemen, but...
Yeah. You mean them do what they were supposed to be doing for the past few years?
Yes. He's got it in his mind, a current NHL defenseman, a prospect, and a first overall. Is that the package you wanted?
Something like that, or maybe even more, because, I mean, you think about it, and I know we are in Nashville, so we obviously look at the prospects in this system and highly tout them and things like that.
Yeah.
But the defensive prospects for Nashville are highly touted. Dante Fabbro is highly touted. Samuel Girard, highly touted. The reason why, here's the thing. Both of those players are going to be at the World Junior Summer Showcase. That is the best in terms of juniors that Canada has to offer. They're both going to be there representing Canada.
Yeah.
That right there shows how highly touted they are when they're going to be representing their country to be able to play potentially for the world in World Juniors in December. So that means they're maybe only 2 years away from being an NHL defenseman, and that's how you build for the future if you want to win.
Yeah, and Canada takes a lot of pride in the World Juniors.
Especially when they lose, and it's funny.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just as an American, it's...
Yeah, they lose to the United States of America, you
like
mean?
Like they did.
Yeah. Gold medal champions.
I know. Hey, how about that?
How about that?
Wait, we're going to get tweets like, yeah, well, how many Olympic gold medals has the men's team won, and blah, 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 and then the women's team, da-da-da, and...
The U.S. team had a pretty good year overall, though, in all the world championships for women. And
until
so
they get
on
to the NHL level, and then it's fart noise.
It's interesting. Just to, you know, venture off in a different topic real quick. It's really interesting how when Canadian players get knocked out, they all go over and compete in the world championships because that program has put that urgency into it. Where the U.S. doesn't really have that as far as the men's team go. And that was a big thing that the U.S. women talked about is we are obligated to do every tournament or we will not participate in any tournaments further. Men aren't held to that standard in that program, which is unfortunate because I love U.S. hockey.
Oh,
I want to see U.S. hockey win everything. I love the Olympics. I want to see a gold medal in my lifetime. And I forget, like...
It's not going to happen when Matt Hendricks is getting sent over to play for Team
USA.
Yeah,
and he's like team captain.
Yeah. Like, good guy. Obviously, a great guy. Really does so much with charity work and community service. Yeah. But come on, man.
USA Hockey has the talent to where Matt Hendricks probably wouldn't even make the team if they put that urgency on.
Probably. Probably. He'd be the towel boy.
Yeah.
There's plenty of talent. There's plenty of American talent, plenty of American talent out there.
Yeah.
But especially young talent right now, too, that could obviously compete.
Yeah.
So I know we just completely went off topic, but that is such an important thing when it comes to...
I mean, this is just something I'm passionate about as a hockey fan. I want to see USA Hockey do well.
I want to see them kick every other country's ass.
And I've... Watch women's hockey if you want to see that, because those women are super talented. It's super fun. I like women's hockey a lot because there isn't hitting, actually. I don't want to see cavemen bashing into each other. I want to see these skilled players skate around and do talented things. I want to see skill on a showcase.
And then when there is some sort of – I mean, it's hockey, so there's going to be some physicality to it.
Yeah.
That's legal in the women's game. Then, I mean, that's when you see some aggression because hockey brings out aggression. And when that happens, then you see how passionate they are, too, about what they're playing for and what they're representing. When you see some physicality, that is legal, but it's still physicality in the game, and it's not just skating around each other, that they're laying a body, not checking, but putting bodies on each other like that. That's when you see the passion. That's what – tell people – watch the women's game. Watch it, especially this next year, the NWHL, they're really going to have a lot of focus on the women's game because they're not going to have Olympic athletes on the rosters because they're getting ready for the Olympics. But watch women's hockey. It is fun and exciting to watch, and they are so passionate about that game, and it's awesome. It's awesome.
As heartbreaking as it was, the gold medal game in Sochi for the women's Olympics, I woke up at like 4 a.m. or whenever that game started. I woke up super early to watch that, and just one of the best games of hockey I've ever seen. It was just amazing.
Shoot, Worlds.
Yeah.
Worlds. Oh,
that Hillary Knight overtime winner. I was just so excited to see it.
Oh my gosh. I love it. It's so much fun, and that's why we focus on it a little bit too.
Yeah.
You can find that at penaltyboxradio.com.
So, moving back over to the widespread panic of the off season, one thing I see keeps getting brought up is Arvidsson and Johansson, they don't have contracts right now.
Oh my God, said Preds Facebook and Twitter.
It's everywhere. Even the Reddit page had a thread about it, like, how much should we be panicking right now? All these free agents signed, and our two guys are still out there.
Oh my God. It's driving me insane. People, this happens every damn year. RFAs.
Every year.
It takes a while because there's negotiations going on, and more likely than not, they get signed before arbitration. Now, Joey's not going to arbitration. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a holdout. I do not expect Johansson to hold out into camp. I don't expect that. They've got to be fairly close. There's no arbitration for them. Arvidsson, it'll get figured out. It's going to get figured out. There's money. There's cap space. Yeah. It's not like they're struggling to do that. It's all about contract and term and what the players want. It's a process to negotiate, people. They went to the Stanley Cup final. All that other time, most likely teams were already negotiating as soon as their season ended. They didn't have that. They had 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hearing Joey's asking price is 8.5 kind of gives me some reassurance, though, because that's his asking price. It never settles in at the asking price. Yeah. It'll come down. But even 8.5, like, that would hurt, but I wouldn't hate it, especially after the playoff performance he had. He deserves to get paid because he shut down all, like, name a good player on each of the teams we faced, and his line probably shut that team down.
Well, and it showed how important his role was, in the Stanley Cup final, because that's what was missing. I know we've talked about that before, too, that his role was important, that it showed what could they have done in the Stanley Cup final on the power play had Johansson been healthy. Yeah. That ups his value right there in terms of what his agent can go back to. It's like, look, I know you guys made it to the Stanley Cup final, but you were obviously missing his creativity and his skill set on the power play. His value is important to you. But like you said, I think it comes down, if they can get it down to 8, it's even better, especially the direction the NHL is going, as it always does before the next lockout.
Yeah.
That's going to be about the asking price for a number one center. Yeah. I just did the quotation marks. Number one center for a hockey team.
Yeah. Johansson's been everything he's been asked to be since he came over to this team. I mean, he really has performed exactly what you could hope for.
Yeah, obviously some people want more.
Yeah.
The number one center. And the thing is, he's still young. So now the question comes into, if he gets his big contract, can he continue to raise his game? He should be able to. The potential's there. He should be able to be an 80-point player.
Yeah. You can tell loyalty's big to him, too, because he's very passionate about everywhere he goes. Even during the final, he came to every event, which he's probably obligated to, but you can tell he's legitimately excited.
Being present and seen.
Yeah, he wants to be in Nashville, and it shows.
Being in the locker room post-game, the hugs that, you know, seen in
the
Showtime special there, and then obviously in the expansion draft, being next to James Neal, that's going on. But loyalty in terms of the teammates is a big thing you can see to him as well, especially putting that out there on social media, because not everybody does that. And that doesn't mean they're not loyal. It just shows that he's publicly showing that he is happy to be with the team that he is a part of.
Yeah, you can tell he's committed to his own conditioning as well, because last season, or I guess now 2 seasons ago, when he came back in before the 16-17 season, you could tell he put on muscle. Mm-hmm. He's getting bigger. And that's exciting to see out of a player, that they're doing everything they can in the offseason to be ready to go.
Well, especially because when you think about his age, he's only 24.
Yeah.
He'll be 25 later this month. Yeah. But still, he's still, quote unquote, 2 years from entering his full on prime. Yeah. He's just the very beginning of his prime. So if he can go into his prime age, Like you said, building that muscle, continuing to score, and raising his point totals, barring injury, then that's exactly what he's supposed to be doing in terms of his development. Has he been slow here and there? Yeah, he had some tough times in Columbus, but he wanted to be loyal to Columbus as well from everything we've heard, and it just didn't happen there. So I think it's on the right track right now with Johansson. Be patient, people. Let it work itself out. If it gets into camp, still don't worry.
Yeah.
Be frustrated, but don't worry, because eventually it's going to work. He's an RFA.
Yeah.
He's going to be with the Predators unless there's some sort of trade that happens, and that ain't happening.
No. Ryan Ellis sat out part of training camp a few years ago while his contract was being negotiated. And look at Ryan Ellis now. Look at how committed he is to this team. That never changed.
Yeah. He's a leader.
Yeah.
An actual leader. He's part of the leadership group.
Yeah.
It's just a contract. It's a business.
Yeah, and it is a business. These things take time. Everybody knows that. Nobody's going.
Do they?
Everybody but fans on Facebook and Twitter. And
well, it's not to rail on those fans all the time. It's the people. When your heart and your emotions get into it, I understand it gets very difficult, but this is a business. David Poyle said, and it ticked off a lot of people. He said it's entertainment. It's entertainment. The entertainment is to win.
Yeah,
obviously. But when it comes down to it, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
It is a business. But they obviously have to make the right financial decisions. But that's the reason why it's a business. You have to see what kind of money you can spend to bring the right level of entertainment, which is winning and winning a championship. That's the whole point of it. But it's a business. You have to run a successful business, and that's what General Manager David Poyle. That is his duty. That's what he's been given to do, is run a successful business, successful being win a championship.
Yeah, David Poyle's been working for the Predators now for 20 years.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything I could ask for out of his performance. Like, I couldn't ask for more than what he's done. He kept the team competitive in the lean years. He primed the team for this incarnation we see now where everything is successful. What a great job he's done.
And when you think, too, in the lean years, like you're saying, Barry Trotz had a tremendous role in that as well, because David Poyle, obviously the internal budget played a big role in that, and Trotz had to try to win with what he was given when they were very, very, very far below the salary cap.
Yeah.
And that right there played a big role in terms of the culture of this team, making sure it continued to grow as a hockey market by being at least competitive, at least make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're being competitive right there. It grows, so you're not continually missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, some people obviously would have been okay with them completely shitting the bed for a couple years and getting number one, number two overall picks.
Yeah.
And then winning like that. But it's tough in a market like Nashville, especially in those lean years. You're still trying to grow.
Yeah. And, you know, the expansion draft situation when the Predators got started, it was not the same as what we just saw with the Vegas Golden Knights. They were put at a disadvantage. Golden Knights were put at an advantage where they could be contending in a year or two.
Well, I mean, there's one slight disadvantage. It's having George McPhee as your general manager.
Yeah, that's true.
How smug was he looking to?
But David Poyle, he kept the team competitive in those lean years. He rebuilt on the fly and created this team that went to the Stanley Cup final. It's truly amazing how well he's done. And I think a big part of that is that level of job security. Because you see teams where, I know I'm not going to be here in a few years. I'm going to sign these ridiculous contracts that handcuff the team 3-4 years down the road. But if I get a Stanley Cup in the 1-2 years where I'll still be here, I'll be okay. Mark Bergevin.
Yeah. Or I'm going to sign ridiculous contracts and still not be able to win in the playoffs. The Minnesota Wild.
Yes.
I mean, right there.
Yeah.
And cause a lockout.
Did they cause a lockout?
Let's have two contracts that help contribute to the lockout. Yes.
Which two contracts?
Parise and Suter.
Yeah.
What, the best friends.
Yeah.
Two best friends that anyone get. But that's what causes the lockouts, too, is these ridiculous contracts. They all lead up to everything with collective. There's so much more to the CBA than that, but I won't divulge because no one wants to hear about that. But
yeah. It's boring stuff, and I haven't, like, as far as my level of passion as a fan, I haven't been through a lockout myself yet. Everybody talks about it like it's inevitable.
It sucks, but we, and I'm saying we as in Penalty Box Radio, would not be where we are without that lockout, because we discovered so much other hockey, and that's what changed what we do. And I'm getting a little passionate here in terms of discovering college hockey, women's hockey, junior hockey, everything like that. The lockout helped us discover that, because we were forced to be on the radio without the NHL going. We had to have some hockey to talk about. So we took trips and traveled, but that's the one good thing that really came out of the previous lockout, was discovering other hockey and doing what it's all because of this right now, discovering more ways to talk about hockey, creating more fans.
Yeah.
So that is, there's something good. It's that it forced people to go find other ways to get the sport that they love.
Yeah, that's definitely why you've been involved with, like, University of Alabama Huntsville. You're credentialed for junior hockey, so all that stuff ties into that. And you play hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
How long have you been playing D-League hockey now?
I've been playing D-League hockey now for four years?
Yeah.
Something like that. It all runs together now a little bit. I think it's three.
Especially because it's not like there's season, off season. It's like season, another season, another season.
Off season's like a week sometimes. Yeah. Or 2 weeks. Maybe 2 weeks at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Maybe. Yeah. Ugh.
I just started playing myself.
And you got a goal, I saw.
I did.
Okay, Cam, if you could just take us through everything that happened with that goal, what led to it? What set you up for it?
I'd like to step back a little bit farther and just explain my entire experience with D-League hockey, because beginning to end, it's a roller coaster.
Oh, a roller coaster.
So we talked about it a little bit last episode. I played inline hockey as a kid. I played from, I think, like kindergarten or first grade until sixth grade. I played at it was a tennis court at one time that they that they just put like end boards on that were made of cement, and like, you know, it's kids playing hockey in like a converted tennis court. So really simple beginnings. So I've always wanted to get back into it, especially as an adult. Boy, the cost of equipment was an obstacle to overcome, but I'm glad I spent all that money now. Mm-hmm. I started playing like 3 weeks ago now, and like I signed up as like a free agent, so they just put me on a random team, and like the captain of the team emailed me, and he's like, just tell me like a little bit about your experience. And I'm like, well, I haven't played in like 15 years, something like that. He's like, okay, well, if before the season gets going, you could, like, you know, get back on your feet and see what you can do, you know, shake some rust off, that'd be a good thing. So the only thing I could do was like an open hockey night at Fordyce Center.
Oh god.
What is, like, you kind of told me a little bit about that before I went. I direct messaged you on Twitter. I was like, hey man, I'm thinking about doing this, like, do you go to these?
No.
You're like, well, it's mostly like upper C league people showing off.
And B leaguers.
Yeah.
And people just wanting to hog the puck.
And I was like, I don't care. Whatever happens, like, you know, I just need to get back on my feet. Yeah. And like, you know.
Yep.
So I go. I skate around for warm-ups. I'm just like completely out of my element. I went back into the locker room, packed up my stuff, and went home.
So basically what happened is you're able to dress for warm-ups like you were able – you Tony Botetto'd it.
Yeah, pretty much. But I did get on my feet, get to skate around a little while. I was sore even just after that because I hadn't worn hockey equipment in so long, and I'm definitely out of shape. Definitely out of shape. But it's been 3 weeks in hockey. We won the first game. Second game, we got shut out. The first period of this third game, like, we're down 4-0, like, right off the bat. So it's a bad night.
Damn, son.
So the game's wrapping up. It's, like, in the final, like, minute and a half. And, like, it's 7-1.
Cool.
Just this awful game. So we're in, like, our defensive zone, and I'm on the ice, and, like, I'm right wing. So my captain has told me to do. Hang out at the top of the top of the zone. Take away the point shots. Take away those passes. So that's what I'm doing. The defenseman on the other team sees how much time is left. And, like, I'm taking away – I do a decent job taking away his time and space. He doesn't have a play, and he realizes that. And he's like, all right, man, go ahead. And he turns over the puck to me.
Are you serious?
Yes. On purpose, he turns the puck over. So I take the puck, and I start skating up ice. So it's me, the captain, who's a center, and one defender. The defender can tell, as the night went on, I'm not that great of a player. I'm not in shape. I haven't been playing for very long, and he can just tell. So he figures if he takes away the pass and ties up the center, it's just me and the goaltender, and I'm not going to be able to do anything. So I'm skating back. I'm carrying the puck up the ice. I get between the face-off dots, and I take a shot. Goaltender must have also given me a gift because it went in.
So basically on an odd man rush, you got to score.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Oh, it felt great. I like, I'm still not very confident on my feet, so I'm all excited. I'm flipping, I'm flopping everywhere. I drop my stick. I have to fall down to pick up my stick because...
Oh, man.
And I'm doing this all in front of the other team's bench, who's winning anyway, but I'm acting like I just won.
Did they get you the puck?
No.
Oh!
No, they did not get me the puck.
Oh!
But, yeah.
You need to get a puck and put some tape on that.
I guess I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
I never got my first goal puck.
Yeah.
So now we try to do that.
That's cool.
If you're Ford Ice Center, you don't know that. We try... We don't get people their first goal puck.
No, we would never do that.
Nudge, say no more. Oh, by the way, I looked 4 years. I've been playing for 4 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm still a D-leaguer, if that says anything.
Yeah. I mean, I've been having fun with it, though. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of people who take it very seriously.
It's all that matters.
Some of the subs seem to be above certain levels of skill. It's like, oh, we've got players missing, so let me just grab these random guys who are really good.
Yeah, I can fight that. I fight that as much as I can.
Yeah.
It's D-League Hawks about having fun, playing and getting to know people.
Yeah.
Creating friendships and camaraderie. And it's one of those things that trying to encourage people to play.
Yeah.
It's scary. A lot of times, because you're going, like you even said, out of your element sometimes, but you have to take that leap.
Yeah.
And just make that decision to do it.
Yeah.
And if you have that opportunity, do it. When I started playing.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that A-Game, Sportsplex, rest in peace, had this.
R.I.P. and peace.
Yeah. Had a camp going, and Jason Cruz, who is now the captain of the Wampas at Ford Ice Center, and I signed up for this thing with like a week notice.
Yeah.
I didn't have any equipment except for skates. And these were old skates that I bought at Playdigan Sports in Sarnia, Ontario, Canada.
Wow.
And the reason I bought them is because they fit.
Mm-hmm.
I have big feet. I wear like a size 13, 13 and a half skate because I wear a size 14 and a half, 15 shoe. So there's one thing there too. People always ask, "But what size skates do you need?" Ones that fit you.
Yeah.
You got to try these suckers on. Yeah. But I bought these things. They're rusted. I got them cleaned and everything. Bought $600 worth of equipment, all brand new, fresh. Went out there looking like a freshly born fawn on the ice. But you got to start somewhere, and you go right into a camp, everybody different skill levels, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You're trying to play. You're playing hockey. That right there is a huge step right there, saying, I'm going to play a sport where you do not play it on the ground that you walk on.
Yeah, especially being in Tennessee. A lot of these people a few years ago were in a similar situation I am in. So a lot of them are very accommodating. It's really easy. I just didn't want to be the only fat guy, and I'm lucky I found a team with like two or three other fat guys.
Yeah, you're not the only fat guy.
No, but there's two or three other ones on my team. We look like if you put ice skates on a basset hound. That's what we look like skating up and down the ice.
We've got to try this out now. Are you even on our schedule? I forgot.
Yeah, we play on like the 29th or the 30th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's coming up.
Oh, I might miss that game, actually.
Yeah?
Because I'm going to be in Michigan for
that's heartbreaking.
The summer showcase. No, so for those of you that don't know, I'm the captain of the Mighty Drunks. at Ford Ice Center, and we're in a big time rebuild mode still.
Yeah.
After basically going in the running the table, going to the championship game two seasons in a row, and then losing in the semifinal, the season after winning the keg, we had half the team go up to lower C, and I'm in rebuild mode. But we were able to get three people on the team that had never played hockey before, and so it's been great to watch them grow in the sport, and we're getting better and better. And that, I know it's frustrating for a lot of people that want to win, but you see people get better and better, and they're trying, and they grow as a player. That's what's fun to watch as a captain and see that. And I've had to make the switch from being a center to being a defenseman is what I've switched to now. Which is a lot of fun as a defenseman.
Yeah. You said you're getting some point shots in, and that sounds like a lot of fun.
If the puck comes to me, I'm shooting it because that's my opportunity.
Yeah.
Just create havoc.
Yeah.
Put a shot on net. I can skate backwards too now.
Yeah. I'm still at the point where I get the puck and I'm panicking and I'm like, okay, where can I make a pass? I just need to get this thing away from me as quick as possible.
Just don't cross the ice. The worst thing possible. Oh, I'm going to cross the ice. It looks completely open. Whoop. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of these teams, like, they've got much quicker skaters than, like, what I'm able to do. So I'm like, oh, nobody's getting to this pass. Yes, they do.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I know Ford Ice Center is having this adult prospect camp coming up, and luckily I get to participate in it.
That's cool.
So I'm going to be extremely sore next week because it is every day after work, including some yoga sessions, but off-ice training with Predators, with former Predators. So people that have played the game are going to be teaching. So hopefully it makes me a better defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
From learning, you know, all these different skills. Plus, I hope to lose like maybe 5 pounds next week.
Yeah. But that's always a good goal. Drink lots of water.
Lots of water.
West cheer wine.
Hey, I'm enjoying my cheer wine from the fountain. It's been great.
Not every soda is great out of the fountain, though. Like,
no.
Love Diet Dr. Pepper. It tastes awful out of a fountain.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You know what? I wish they had cheer wine at the movie theater.
Yeah. So, Spider-Man Homecoming came out. I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man's my favorite superhero. So, when the Marvel Studios logo comes up, and it's going through all the movies they've made, and it's like, finally, Spider-Man is coming home. He's going to be part of the Marvel Studios. And it feels so good because there's been so many bad Spider-Man movies.
Alert. Spoilers coming.
What?
I'm just saying. We're talking.
Oh, yeah.
We need to tell people.
We're going to dive in deep to Spider-Man. That's probably deep. Something we're going to do.
Shoot, man. Hold on. Let me go get my comic books.
Dive in deep, unprotected. No, you know, you've got to put the little like dust cover over your comic book. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you're talking about, Cam. Jeez. but spoilers ahead.
There's the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. Two, it was good at the time. Now all of those movies are just completely unwatchable. I don't know if you've ever gone back and tried to watch those. They do not hold up one bit. I loved them at the time, but looking back on them now, they were not great movies.
Right.
Amazing Spider-Man was pretty good. Amazing Spider-Man 2 ruined that by being the worst movie.
Awful.
Yeah. So
Too much in too little space.
My two favorite superheroes are Spider-Man and Wolverine.
Okay.
Those are like the worst movies.
But Logan.
Logan was good.
Logan was good.
Yeah. I still feel like they need to take that title away and bring it to the Marvel Studios because they do such a good job.
They do, and Marvel righted the ship that Sony had effed over so much with like, oh, we're Sony. Let's make another Spider-Man movie with another actor. Oh, let's get another British actor to do Spider-Man. Tom Holland, though.
Yeah.
Phenomenal, and his really background helps so much. I mean, it's been circulating again back on Facebook now, but his lip sync battle where he's Rihanna.
I've never seen this.
Oh my god, you've got to see this. He starts it off with Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
Wearing like a zoot suit and a cap and dancing with an umbrella, and then goes behind umbrellas and then strips all that off dressed like Rihanna singing Umbrella.
I need
full dance, everything.
I need to see this.
It is awesome.
That sounds awesome.
It doesn't even look like Tom Holland, but he has a dance and gymnastics and everything background, which obviously helps with Spider-Man and all of that. And I really think he portrayed it. So we saw it in Civil War.
Yeah.
With what he's capable of doing and portraying Spider-Man as it's supposed to be portrayed. He's a kid.
Yes.
And it's supposed to, he's supposed to be a kid in high school going through high school issues.
Yeah.
Don't get someone that looks older trying to play a kid or have more adult issues. He is a kid having to deal with kid issues.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's always drove me crazy about these Spider-Man movies is Spider-Man's supposed to be this like nerdy kid and like young, and they draft Tobey Maguire, who's like super clean cut and your typical like jock looking type.
20s.
Let's put glasses on him.
It's like and She's All That. Like, oh look, she's an ugly girl. She's a painter. She's plain. Take off the glasses. Do something with the hair. Put on some makeup. Oh my God, she's gorgeous, and we never saw it before. Every 90s teen movie did that. Like, oh, there's a quote unquote ugly girl. Let's make her pretty.
My favorite version of that is Not Another Teen Movie. I never watched any of the other ones. Not Another Teen Movie was all I needed. Interestingly enough, Captain America's in that movie too.
Oh yeah,
he is.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Captain America was great in Spider-Man.
Yeah. They casted this movie really well.
They did.
Spider-Man was good. Michael Keaton as the Vulture. How great was he?
Michael Keaton, especially, what is it, Birdman, that really like was resurrected his career?
Yeah.
I think he has been phenomenal. He was phenomenal
in
that role. He played it so perfectly well.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know it with the comics, which I mean, I didn't read much of Spider-Man growing up, but the role he played in terms of being able to identify with the character and almost feel a little bit of sympathy. Or you kind of empathize with what he's going through, but you still hate him because of what he's doing. He played that off so well.
Yeah. Early on, you definitely empathize with him because they go through the whole thing where Tony Stark causes this mass like alien invasion in New York. And then he gets hired on to be like the cleanup crew. And
Boom, done.
Tony Stark comes in with this big contract with the government, and now he's cleaning it up.
Yeah. Everything, not I want to say everything, but there's so much about the movie that did well to continue on the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
With all the connections to the Chitauri, to the Triskelion, everything connected the way it's supposed to, because you're basically seeing like, oh, Spider-Man was just in Queens doing his own thing while all this other stuff went on, but he was a typical kid being a fan of the Avengers and what they were able to do too.
Yeah. And one of the things I liked about this movie is, like, one thing comic book nerds always say to, oh, that's not how it happened in the comic book. But you look at comic books and there's always, like, what if Superman landed in Soviet Russia instead of, like, Iowa and, like, stuff like that. So comic book nerds love when comic books mess with things, but they hate it when the movies mess with things.
Yeah.
This, they didn't put any, like, they didn't limit themselves by like restricting to making people happy or making comic book nerds happy. They went and did their own thing somewhat.
Also, Aunt May is hot.
Yeah. Which, which was hilarious. Everywhere they went, Aunt May's getting hit on and like, oh, this dessert is on the house.
Yeah.
Wink,
I larb
nudge,
you.
Nudge.
I larb you.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it and you really don't care, I mean, we haven't spoiled too much in terms of the actual plot and everything like that, but it was a phenomenally done movie, and it really sets up beautifully for the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
One last thing that always drives me crazy with Spider-Man, and this one was kind of guilty with it. In all the comic books and the cartoons I remember, Spider-Man was always quick-witted. He always knew exactly what to say. He was a nerd. He was this big science nerd, but he's very smart and very clever, and that shows through his speech. In these movies, all whenever he's talking to a girl, it's like, I don't know what to say.
But
no.
The suit. When the suit comes on, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's the confidence of the suit.
Yeah, maybe.
So, also, I want to throw this at you.
Yeah.
If someone on the Predators was Spider-Man, who would it be?
I think it would be Matthias Ekholm for a few reasons.
Okay, explain.
Matthias Ekholm always seems like cool, level-headed. And then you get him on the ice, and you get Evgeny Malkin in, like, in his face, and he's screaming and yelling and like trying to fight people. at the World Championships a few years ago, he got in a big fight against like what, the German team?
So,
and they're like screaming at, like swear words at each other. So in a similar way to Spider-Man, once he puts on that suit and that uniform, he's going all out.
Yeah, I took a completely different route.
Yeah?
I'll go with Kevin Fiala.
Really?
Because of how frustrated Kevin Fiala would get in not learning patience. And we see that a lot with Spider-Man in thinking too far ahead, always wanting to be a part of the Avengers. Kevin Fiala wanting to push ahead to be in the NHL, but he had to have his seasoning done in Milwaukee, given his frustrating part where he flipped off a crowd, you know, or flipped off the bench and the whole crowd saw it on school day of all days.
Was it school day?
It was school day. It was a morning game. It was a day game. So it was school day when he flipped off the opposing team's bench.
Oh, no.
But little things like that. Not saying that Spider-Man did that, but the frustrations of being a kid when you want to be an adult.
Yeah.
And so that's my tie-in there. We were able to tie in Spider-Man to the Predators.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening today. I think we're about done. Make sure you follow Penalty Box Radio on Twitter at Penalty Box Radio, at Justin B. Bradford for Justin here, at Cam Gumpy. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your off season.